Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The sealed book.
Once again, the keeper of the book is ready to open the ponderous volume in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. All the strange and mystifying stories of the past, the present, and the future. Keeper of the book, what tale will you tell us this time?
What tale shall I tell you? I have here tales of every kind. Tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds and events strange beyond all belief. There. Now, let me see. Yes, here's a tale for you. The story of a small and desolate island off the coast of New England, and the people who lived on it. The title of the tale is Devil Island. Here is the tale as it was told by Anne Drake, and is written in the sealed book. It all began on that bleak
autumn day when I hired a motorboat to take me out to the island, Devil Island. The bleak-looking island which lay ahead and belonged to the Drake family for 200 years was to be my new home. I kept staring at it, wondering what it would be like to live on this island with my father, whom I'd never seen. 20 minutes later, the boatman had landed me at the dock and left. Towering above me was a high cliff, and on top of it was the house, a huge stone mansion that looked as old and weather-beaten as a medieval castle. I climbed the steep, rocky path that led from the dock to the house. Hello.
Don't tell me. Anne, I've recognized you anyplace. You look exactly like your mother.
Are you my father?
Yes. Are you disappointed?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Come into the drawing room. Your stepmother and uncle are waiting to meet you. Hester, Henry.
Anne.
I want you to meet my daughter, Anne.
Anne, this is a great pleasure.
Thank you, Uncle Henry.
Anne, I'm your stepmother, and I can't tell you how happy I am to have you here. Won't you call me Hester?
Thank you. I'd like to.
Oh, Hester. And let me introduce you to the remaining member of the household, Anne. This is Abel. He served the family for 30 years. He can't talk, but he understands what you're saying. Abel, this is my daughter.
Hello, Abel.
Oh, Anne, it's going to be wonderful having you here. You're just what Drake Manor needs to make it live again. I do hope we'll be able to make you happy here.
The weeks slipped by, and I was happy. I spent the days reading with Father and taking long walks with Uncle Henry and being taught cooking by Hester. And at night, Uncle Henry and I would play chess.
Well, that's another game for you, Anne. The trouble is, I taught you how to play the game too well.
Oh. It looks as though another northeaster is on its way.
Yes, it does.
Would you like me to draw the curtains, Uncle Henry?
If you will, Anne. That window over there seems to be... He's there, looking in at me.
Who, Uncle Henry? There's no one at the window.
Can't you see him? He's beckoning to me.
But there's no one there. Here, I'll draw the curtains. Is that better?
He can't see me now. But he's still out there, waiting for me.
Who is?
Your uncle, Richard.
Uncle Richard? But he's been dead for 15 years.
Yes, I know. And now he's come for me.
No, Uncle Henry, you only imagined you saw him.
Perhaps the same thing is happening to me that happened to the others.
What happened to the others?
Your grandfather, Daniel, Aunt Harriet, Uncle Richard. They all died insane.
Oh. Oh, no. No, it can't be. But
they did, Anne. There's a strain of insanity in the Drake family. Aunt Harriet, for weeks before she died, kept screaming that Grandfather Daniel was trying to pull her into the grave.
Oh.
And Uncle Richard, he died crying out that Aunt Harriet was at the window calling him.
Oh, no, no.
They all died during a storm like this one. And now my time has come. Richard is waiting for me. I'll be the next of the Drakes to die.
Please, Uncle Henry, you mustn't say things like that.
Oh, Anne, I'm so afraid of insanity, of dying.
Uncle Henry, I'll spend all of my time with you now. We'll end this nightmare you're living in.
The only end to it will be death.
Uncle Henry never spoke of his terrible fear again. But in the weeks that followed, he grew haggard, became frightened at the sound of a door opening. Then one day, another northeaster set in. By nightfall, it had whipped itself into a gale. At midnight, I woke suddenly to hear Uncle Henry speaking to someone in his room.
Richard, stop tapping on my window. Go away, do you hear? Why can't you leave me alone? I don't want to go with you. No. Not yet.
I quickly opened
please,
my door.
Please,
I stepped
no,
into the hall.
No, don't take me now.
Uncle Henry's voice grew wilder and wilder as I approached his room.
Why don't you go away? You're dead. Dead. You have no right to bother the living.
Uncle Henry,
no.
Let me in.
No.
It's Anne.
No.
Uncle
no,
Henry, please unlock the door.
I won't go with you, Richard. My time hasn't come yet. No, I won't. You can't make me.
Uncle Henry.
Why are you raising my window? No, Richard. Don't come in! Stay away from me!
Uncle Henry! Uncle Henry!
Anne, what is it? What's wrong?
Oh, Father, do something. It's Uncle Henry. He was screaming and now he...
Come here, dear. Hush, hush.
No. The door is locked. I'll have to break it down. Henry.
Father, is he?
Yes. Yes, Anne. He's dead.
Here in the island burying grounds of six generations of Drakes, we place the remains of our beloved brother and uncle, Henry Drake, secure in the knowledge that in thy arms he shall find everlasting. Ah, oh, dear. Life in this house won't be the same without Henry.
Father, Uncle Henry was terribly frightened for weeks before he died.
Anne, whatever are you talking about?
It all began during that northeaster we had last month. Uncle Henry and I were playing chess.
But Anne, why didn't Henry tell me about those hallucinations he was having?
He didn't want to worry you. Father, did Aunt Harriet, Uncle Richard, and your father die insane?
Oh, Anne, Henry should never have told you about them. Promise me you won't worry about our hereditary trouble.
I'll try not to, Father.
We've lost Henry, but the three of us will go on as before.
The three of us tried to go on as before, but an unspoken fear had crept into our lives. Often I turn to find Father and Hester watching me anxiously. Then a month after Uncle Henry's death, another storm lashed the island.
I'll be glad when this storm blows over. It's getting on my nerves.
Father, why don't we close up Drake Manor for a few weeks and take a vacation on the mainland?
You mean leave the island?
No, that's impossible, Anne. We have enough money to get along on the island, but not elsewhere.
But I have all that money. My mother left me. We could use that.
You won't receive that money until you're 21. That's 6 months from now. Besides...
Oh, Anne, well, what are you staring at?
Look. Look at the window.
Eh?
It's Uncle Henry. He's beckoning to me.
Anne, there's no one at the window.
He's there, I tell you, he's there. Look. Now he's gone away. Oh, you saw him, didn't you? You must have.
Darling, you only imagined you saw him.
Oh, no, no, I did see him. He was beckoning to me, the way Uncle Richard beckoned to him. Means I'm going to be the next Drake to die.
Anne, what are you saying?
Oh, you mustn't talk like that. You just imagined you saw Uncle Henry. It was just
an hallucination. And I'm going insane, as he did.
Oh, no, no, don't say that. Anne, you must rid your mind of all these fears, of everything Henry told you. Promise me you won't think about it anymore.
That was a promise I couldn't keep. At night I'd lie in the darkness in my room, thinking of everything that had happened, listening to the night noises. And one night I heard footsteps above me in the tower. That limp. Oh, that unmistakable limp. It was Uncle Henry in the tower. There was an icy coldness about the house as I climbed the steps to the tower. I opened the door. The tower was in complete darkness. But by a window, his face ghost-like in the moonlight, stood Uncle Henry.
Come to take you with me, Anne. Your time has come. The grave will wait no longer.
No. No.
Do not be afraid. Your death is not a thing to be feared, but to be welcome.
No. No, stay away from me.
I cannot return to the grave without you. Give me your hand.
No. No. No.
And now for the rest of the story, Devil Island, as it is written in the sealed book. Martin Drake, hearing Anne's screams, rushed up to the tower of the old mansion to find her lying unconscious on the floor. After Martin and Hester had taken the girl back to her bed, Martin went to the mainland. At dawn, he returned with a doctor and waited impatiently for him to finish examining Anne.
I've just given her a sedative, Mr. Drake. She's asleep now.
Will she be all right, Doctor?
Afraid she's on the borderline of insanity.
Oh, no.
And I'm afraid in a case of this type, where there is inherited insanity, there's very little that can be done.
Well, sleepyhead, it's about time you were waking up.
Oh, hello, Father. How long have I been asleep?
A little over 10 hours. It's just getting dark outside.
Doctor still here?
No, Anne. He left hours ago.
And, darling, he says you're going to get well.
Why, of course you are. Now you'd better get some more rest. Good night, darling.
A moment later, they were gone. I was alone again. Alone in the dark. And all I could think of was... I was going insane. Perhaps I was already mad. The hours passed. The very stillness of the house made my heart pound in my ears. And then stillness was broken. That limp again. It was Uncle Henry in the tower. Back and forth from one end of the tower to the other, he limped. Then silence. I lay in the darkness waiting. Waiting. And then suddenly, the door to my room was opened. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. Oh, Abel. Oh, Abel, what are you doing in my room? What are you trying to tell me? I don't understand. Oh, he's walking again. Abel, you hear him, don't you? You do hear it. I told them that Uncle Henry had come back from the grave, but they said I was just imagining it. You mean no? He hasn't come back from the grave? If he hasn't come back from the grave and you hear what I hear, Abel, you don't mean that he's still alive. But that can't be true. You buried him yourself. I saw you. You mean you didn't bury him? That he wasn't in the coffin? Oh, but you must be wrong. Oh, when we broke into his room, Father found him. No, what? What do you mean, no? Are you trying to tell me something about Father? You are. What do you mean, Father, no? Father, no. You mean he isn't my father? Oh, but you must be wrong. Oh, of course he is. That doesn't make sense. Why should he say he is my father if he isn't? What does he gain by it? My mother's estate. Oh, no, you must be wrong. Even if I were to die, he wouldn't get it. The estate would then go to charity. It's in mother's will. Oh, why does he keep walking in the tower? He's driving me crazy. You mean they want to drive me crazy? Oh, but why? What reason could they have? Oh, if I were to become insane, he could have himself appointed my guardian, take over the estate. Is that it? It is. But Ava, if he isn't my father, where is my father? Is he dead? I mean, he is dead. Then who are these three who say they're my father and stepmother and uncle? I don't understand, but no matter who they are, they'll kill me. They'll kill both of us if they learn we've discovered their secret. Oh, we've got to escape. But how? The only boat is locked, and he has the key. Why are you handing me that flashlight? You mean the window. Signal the mainland for help. Yes, of course. Abel, you better go. We can't let them find you in here or they'll suspect. I'll keep signaling as long as the batteries last. Oh, I can't keep signaling much longer. For now, officer.
Andy, what are you doing out of bed? And with that flashlight?
Nothing at all.
You weren't signaling someone on the mainland, were you?
Oh, no. No, I just had the flashlight in case someone came in the room.
Oh, why, you're trembling as though you were frightened. You're not afraid of your own father, are you, dear?
No, of course not.
Now, no more walking around. I want you to get some sleep. Good night, dear.
Was gone, taking the flashlight with him. Did he suspect that I knew? Oh, the hours seemed endless until the first rays of dawn came. Would rescue come with it, or had my signals gone unnoticed? After I dressed, I went to the window, and then I saw it. The strange launch tied up at the dock. Suddenly frightened lest the callers leave before I could speak to them, I rushed out of the room. As I ran down the stairs, I could hear voices in the drawing room.
Well, Sheriff, if Dr. Arnold has spoken to you about my daughter's mental condition, I'm quite sure you'll understand.
Sheriff, don't listen to him. He isn't my father.
Anne!
What was that, miss?
I tell you, he's not my father. He's an imposter, and so is she.
Oh, Martin, she's having another one of her spells.
Now, please, Hester.
They're acting, I tell you. The moment I set foot on the island, they began their plan to drive me insane. First they gained my love and trust. And then they had Uncle Henry confide to me his fears. And when Uncle Henry was found dead, they told me...
Who says I'm dead? I've never felt better.
Oh, Sheriff, allow me to introduce my brother, Henry.
Oh. Well, Miss Drake, your Uncle Henry doesn't look very dead.
He wasn't. They just pretended he was. They even buried an empty coffin to make me think I was attending his funeral.
I really think you should take Anne up to her room, Hester. She needs rest.
Oh, Sheriff, they're lying, the three of them.
Have you any proof, Miss Drake?
Yes. Yes, Abel will tell you. He knows.
I'm afraid that Abel can't tell you anything, dear. The poor chap fell off Devil's Cliff into the sea early this morning.
Oh, you pushed him off the cliff so that he couldn't talk.
Martin, the excitement's too much. Laura, she's getting worse.
Sorry to trouble you, Mr. Drake, but it was my duty to investigate those signals.
Oh, Sheriff, you can't leave me here. They will drive me insane.
I assure you, Sheriff, she'll be given the very best of care. We have a specialist coming to see her next
time. Oh, no, Sheriff, wait. Wait, please.
Now, Miss Drake, I think you'd better stop.
No, wait. I just want to show you this gold locket. Look. Look, I'll open it. You see what's inscribed in it?
Oh. Yes. For my daughter... in commemoration of her 5th birthday. What are you driving at, Miss Drake?
If that man's my father, as he claims he is, ask him what my middle name is. It's inscribed in the locket.
Well, just to humor her, Mr. Drake, what is her middle name?
Her middle name? Well, frankly, Sheriff, I seem to have forgotten.
Oh, he hasn't forgotten it, Sheriff. He never knew it. He isn't my father.
Kind of strange you're not knowing your own daughter's middle name.
Well, it's just that, I have an awful memory for names.
So have I, but I know my kid's middle name. There's something peculiar about all this. I think you three and the girl better come with me to the mainland.
What for?
So I can do a little checking. If you're Martin Drake, as you say you are, there must be someone on the mainland who can identify you.
Oh, see here, Sheriff, this is ridiculous. Just because...
I said you're going to the mainland with me.
Well, I always said you were the weak link in the chain, Gerald.
Shut up, you fool.
It's no use, Gerald. The game is up. A trip to the mainland is more than we can stand. You just have to look at Hester's face to see that she agrees.
Who are you folks?
We're actors. Things having become difficult a few years ago, we accepted employment on this island from Mr. Drake. When he died, I thought of this little scheme. It really was a perfect plan until this fool slipped up on the girl's middle name. By the way, what is her middle name?
Why, according to this locket, she hasn't one. It's just inscribed to Anne.
And that is the story of Devil Island, as it is written in the sealed book. Because an imposter slipped up on a middle name that didn't exist, an almost perfect crime was prevented by Sheriff Williams, and an innocent girl was rescued from imprisonment and probable death. It was a small slip, but a fatal one. The sound of the great gong tells me I must close the sealed book once again.
One moment, keeper of the book. What story will you tell us next time?
Next time? Are you sure you want to know? Perhaps my next story may be about you. For I have here all the stories that ever happened, and many that have yet to come to pass. But I'll find one for you in just a moment.
And now, keeper of the book, have you found the story that you'll tell next week?
Yes, yes, I have found one. It's the story of two helpless old ladies in fear of their lives and the desperate measures to which they were driven in order to save themselves. The title of the tale is Escape by Death.
Be sure and be with us again next time when the great gong heralds another strange and exciting story from...
The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Kogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Sealed Book.
Once again, the keeper of the book is ready to open the ponderous volume in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. All the strange and mystifying stories of the past, the present, and the future. Keeper of the book, what tale will you tell us this time?
What tale shall I tell you? I have tales here of every kind. Tales of murder, tales of madness, of dark deeds and events strange beyond all belief. Let me see. Yes, here's a tale for you. A strange and terrible story of two old ladies and how they tried to escape from their doom. I call the story Escape by Death. My story begins in a big, shabby old house in the country, fully a mile from any other habitation. In a large ground floor room, which is both their bedroom and sitting room, Martha and Louise Abbott listen to the wind howl outside. Louise is an invalid, confined to a wheelchair. Martha, though able to walk, can only hobble a few steps at a time, so that to them, the lonely house is almost like a prison.
Listen to that wind, Louise. Oh, I do hate living out in the country like this. We're so isolated from everybody.
Oh, yes, Martha. It was so much nicer when we lived in our own house in the village.
Even if Roger and Hester are our nephew and niece, we should never have let them persuade us to move out here with them. Oh, what is it, Toby? Queenie? Oh, our mother's darling's hungry. Even Toby and Queenie don't like living here.
Yes, they do seem unhappy. Queenie hasn't been eating well.
Louise, it's very foolish for us to stay here with Roger and Hester. I think I hear Hester coming now. We'll tell her right away that we want to go back to our old home.
Here I am at last, Aunt Louise, Aunt Martha. I brought you tea and some cake I just made this afternoon.
Thank you, dear.
I have the Daily Sentinel for you. George Gibson just delivered it. I haven't even opened it yet.
Thank you. Roger, Louise and I have been talking things over. It was very kind of you to invite us to live here with you, but we were much happier living in the village. We want to go back.
But, Aunt Martha, it's much better for you here. Really, it is.
Of course. You're just homesick, both of you.
And you'll get over it. Pretty soon you'll love the country as much as we do.
Now, we don't want to hear another word about your leaving us. We couldn't be happy thinking of you alone and helpless in the village. Come along, Roger. Let them drink their tea.
All right, Heston. See you both later.
Oh, I do wish they'd let us go back.
There's no reason why we shouldn't.
Do you remember the teas we used to give? Mary Thompson came over every afternoon. It was so nice.
There's no reason we can't move back and get those teas again. We won't be alone or helpless either. With all the money Father left us, we can afford a dozen servants. Louise, we are going back. I've made up my mind.
Oh, Martha, I'm so glad.
Listen to Toby and Queenie. They're glad we're going back, too, aren't you, you fat old darlings?
Oh, they understand you, Martha. They know we're not going to stay here much longer.
Of course they do. Well, now that's settled, let's see what's in the Sentinel. Let's see now.
Oh, Martha, let's look at the obituary notices first.
That's just what I was turning to, Louise. Here we are.
Did anyone we know die?
Now, let me see. Yes. You remember Amos Wilson, don't you?
Yes.
He died 2 days ago.
Poor Amos. He was about your age, wasn't he, Martha?
Certainly not. He was a good deal older.
Oh, Martha, look at this. Why, it says that Mary Thompson is entering the county home for the infirm.
The poor house? Oh, no, no, it can't be.
You can read it for yourself. Oh, that dreadful place. I'd rather be dead than in that home.
Poor Mary.
Martha, after we move back to the village, can't we have Mary come to live with us?
Yes, of course. Why, going to the poorhouse would be the death of her.
No. No, it can't be.
What can't be?
Read what it says there in the real estate column. The old Abbott mansion, owned by the Mrs. Martha and Louise Abbott, has been put up for sale by their nephew, Roger Clark.
What? Why, it must be a mistake.
Oh.
We never told Roger to sell our house. Roger!
Now, Martha, we mustn't get excited.
But why should he want to sell our house? I won't permit it.
Are you calling me, Aunt Martha?
Yes, Roger. What's this in the Sentinel about our house being up for sale?
Oh, is it in the Sentinel? Oh, I'm so sorry.
It is a mistake, isn't it, Roger?
Well, no, Aunt Louise. Since the house isn't being used, I thought it would be a good idea to sell it.
But you had no right to put the house up for sale without telling me.
Now, don't get yourself excited, Aunt Martha. If you don't want the house sold, I'll remove it from the market.
You must, Roger. We couldn't live if the house was sold.
All right. Now, I'll take care of everything. Don't you worry. Everything's going to be all right.
I don't like it, Louise. I don't like it at all. Why should he try to sell it without telling us?
It does seem strange.
Louise, we must get in touch with Judge Morris at once. Mm-hmm. He's the administrator of Father's estate. He'll take care of everything for us the way we want it. I didn't like the look in Roger's eyes just now. I've always been suspicious of Roger, and if you want my opinion, he and Hester are up to something. Is Mother's beautiful Queenie hungry? Well, here's a nice piece of meat from the lovely supper Hester just brought us.
Oh, Queenie is hungry, Martha. She's got her appetite back since she learned we intend going back to the village.
Yes, she has, but where's Toby? I don't see him around any place.
He's probably in the kitchen. Martha, when are you going to speak to Roger and Hester again about our leaving?
I'm waiting until we can get in touch with Judge Morris. He'll come get us whether Roger wants us to go or not. There's been something very strange about Roger's manner ever since we told him yesterday we didn't want to stay.
Martha, look. Queenie's ill. Oh. That meat you gave her, it's made her sick.
Queenie, oh, what's the matter with Mother's darling?
Oh, Martha, there's something terribly wrong with her.
Queenie, what is it? Oh, Louise, what can we do?
Give us some water. Maybe that'll help. Martha, she's fallen down.
She's dead, Louise. Queenie is dead.
Oh, no. No, she can't.
But she is, though she was perfectly all right until I gave her that meat.
She was so hungry, she just bolted it down. Oh, Martha, she must have choked on it. She's choked to death.
Did she? I'm not so sure.
Martha, what do you mean? What else could it have been?
She acted more as if she were poisoned.
Poisoned?
Yes, I'm sure of it. The meat was poisoned. That's why Queenie died.
How's that possible?
It was poisoned because that meat was meant for us.
Martha, you don't mean that Roger and Hester...
Yes, Louise. Oh, I see it now. That's why they brought us out here. why they won't let us leave. They're planning to kill us. They're after our money.
Oh, Martha, what are we going to do?
Well, we've got to get in touch with Judge Morris right away. He'll save us.
But, Martha, how can we? The telephone, it's upstairs in Hester's room, and neither of us can climb stairs.
I know that. We've got to figure another way to reach him. Louise, our lives depend upon it. All that night, the two old ladies, terror in their hearts, tossed and turned in an effort to think of a way of escape from the horrible trap in which they found themselves. In the morning, they thought they had discovered how to do it. When George Gibson, the rural mail carrier, came by, Louise called to him and gave him a frantic message to Judge Morris, which he promised to deliver. However, a few minutes later, encountering Roger, their nephew, George Gibson told him what had happened, and Roger managed to persuade him not to deliver the message. Then Roger hurried home to consult with Hester.
Roger, you say that while Martha was out here in the kitchen with me, Louise was giving George Gibson a message for Judge Morris?
Yes, and she seemed so excited that George stopped me on the road to tell me about it. Hester, I'm afraid they suspect.
Oh, no, they mustn't. We mustn't let them.
I should say not, after all the trouble we've gone to. We would ruin everything.
Yes.
We've got to quiet their suspicion somehow. We've got to make them like it here, so they'll be perfectly content to stay with us until they die.
And now to return to the story of escape by death, as it is written in the sealed book. For 24 hours, Martha and Louise have waited in trembling impatience for George Gibson to bring word that Judge Morris has received their frantic appeal for help.
Oh, Martha, where can George be? He's more than an hour late.
Well, he's probably just been delayed. Maybe the car broke down. He'll be here soon.
Yes, here he comes now. He's turning up the drive. Oh, Martha, I was so worried.
I told you he wouldn't fail us.
There's Roger taking the mail from him. Suppose Roger doesn't let him see us. He might...
Louise!
What is it, Martha? What's wrong?
That isn't George Gibson delivering the mail.
Not George Gibson?
No, that's a much younger man. Now he's leaving. Roger's coming back in the house.
Martha, where do you suppose George is?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Perhaps he's sick today.
Here comes Roger.
Hello, Aunt Martha. Aunt Louise. Here's a magazine that came in the mail. I thought you might like to see it.
Thank you, Roger.
Why didn't George Gibson deliver the mail today?
Oh, you saw that there was a new driver. Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but yesterday afternoon, poor George was killed.
Killed?
Oh, no.
He had a bad accident as he was returning to the village.
An accident?
Yes. I'd rather not talk about it anymore now. It'll just upset you. Hester will bring you some supper soon.
Poor George.
Well, that means Judge Morris didn't get our message.
Oh, Martha.
Don't you see, Louise? That wasn't any accident. George was killed to keep him from going to Judge Morris.
Martha, you can't mean that Roger and Hester...
Yes, Louise, they'll stop at nothing to get our money.
But what are we going to do? We can't get a message to anyone. And they're poisoning our food. We haven't eaten a thing since poor Queenie died. We can't go on throwing the food away or we'll starve.
There's only one thing to do. Toby must sample our food.
You mean to see if it's poison?
Yes. It's dreadful having to risk poor Toby's life, but it's the only thing we can do. Ah, Toby, a nice piece of meat for Mother's darling.
Oh, Martha, I get so frightened every time I see Toby eating something. I keep remembering Queenie and the dreadful way she died.
Now, Louise, we mustn't think of that. Here, Toby, dear.
Martha, why are you feeding Toby?
Well, he gets plenty to eat in the kitchen. He'll die of overeating if you aren't careful.
I've always fed Toby from my own plate. He expects it.
But, Aunt Martha, if you feed that meat to the cat, there won't be enough for you.
No. And if you're to get well, you need all that food. Now, I don't want you feeding Toby any more of it.
Here, Toby. Come on, boy. Come on.
Come on out the kitchen there. Martha and Louise eat their supper.
Here you are, Aunt Martha. Aunt Louise, I've brought you your lunch. Doesn't it look good?
Yes, Hester. It's very nice.
Here, Toby. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Hester, have you seen Toby?
No, Aunt Martha, I haven't.
Oh, but where could he be? Toby's always on time for meals.
Oh, he's probably someplace around the house. Now, eat your lunch before it gets cold.
Oh, Martha, where can he be?
Toby'll be along in a few minutes. We won't touch a bit of this food until he's eaten some of it.
I do wish he were here. I'm so hungry.
Louise, don't touch a thing on that tray. It isn't safe.
Here, Toby. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Good evening, Aunt Martha and Aunt Louise. How are you?
Good evening, Roger.
I have supper here for you two. Why, Aunt Martha, neither of you ate your lunch. What's wrong?
We weren't hungry, Hester.
Have you found Toby yet?
No, I've looked everywhere for him, but he seems to have disappeared.
Oh, no.
Now, you mustn't worry. I'm sure he'll turn up all
right. Aunt Martha, you and Aunt Louise can't afford to miss meals in your state of health.
Certainly not. Now, we want you to eat everything that Hester's brought you.
Mm-hmm. You'll make us very unhappy if you don't. Now, please eat it while it's hot. Come along, Roger. I'll get you your supper.
All right, dear.
Did you hear what she said about Toby, Louise?
Yes. He's vanished.
Nonsense. They've killed him. What? You saw how angry they were last night when we fed Toby from our plates. They've killed him so he won't spoil their plans.
Oh, Martha, what are we going to do? I'm so hungry that my head spins and I'm dizzy.
I know, Louise. So am I. Oh, I hate them. I hate them.
We're leaving them our money and our wills. They'll get it soon enough. Why must they kill us?
Because they're nothing but common murderers. I distrusted Roger from the minute Hester first brought him to our house.
Yes, it's his fault. He's changed, Hester. She used to be such a sweet girl.
Oh, if there was only some way to get word to the village or to bring somebody here to help us. Louise, I have an idea.
What is it, Martha?
There's one way to bring people here.
What, Martha?
If we were to set fire to the house, somebody would be sure to see the flames.
Yes, of course. And then the fire company would come out.
Then we'd be able to tell them we'd be saved.
Oh, but Martha, Hester and Roger would put out the fire before it could get big enough to be seen.
Louise, I know a way we can prevent them from putting out the fire.
You do?
Yes, we can save ourselves, Louise. We can save ourselves.
Why are you looking down the cellar stairs like that? Now, you should be in your room.
You certainly should. It's drafty out here in the hall. Now, close the cellar door and go back to your room.
But I heard Toby crying. He's down in the cellar, and I won't go to my room until I get him.
But Aunt Martha...
Roger, just to put Aunt Martha's mind at ease, why don't you go down the cellar and see if Toby is there?
Oh, all right. But if you ask me, it's just a waste of time.
Please help him look for Toby, Hester. You'll find him so much quicker if you both look for him.
Aunt Martha... Oh, very well. But you go back to your room so you don't catch cold. Roger, do you see him?
Doesn't seem to be any place here in the cellar.
Now we'll see just how smart you are trying to poison us. You won't stop us from escaping now. I must get Louise. Louise! Louise, it worked.
You mean you were able to lock them in the cellar?
Yes, and with the door locked, they can't get out.
They found out they're locked in.
Now, don't you worry about it, Louise. I'll take care of everything.
What are you doing with that kerosene lamp, Martha?
Pouring the kerosene around the room so it will burn better. Oh. There. Are you ready to leave, Louise?
Yes, Martha, yes.
And I'll strike a match and start the fire.
Oh, how quickly it's starting to spread.
Yes, we've got to leave. I'll push your wheelchair, Louise, and you try to help by rolling the wheels.
Yes, Martha.
Well, we're coming along nicely.
A little harder.
Good morning.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Martha, I do hate to do this.
Louise, you mustn't waste any pity on them. Even if they are our niece and nephew, they're nothing but common murderers.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Now, I'll just open the front door and we'll be free. Now, roll the wheels a bit, Louise.
Yes.
And just a few feet more and we'll be safe.
Yes, that's it.
There. Now we're far enough away from the house to be perfectly safe.
Oh, my. The whole house is on fire. Do you think they can see it in the village by now, Martha?
I'm sure they do. Now remember, Louise, when the fire company gets here, we don't know what happened to Roger and Hester. We just managed to get out ourselves.
Yes, Martha.
If we told them what we were forced to do to escape, we'd have to reveal that our own niece and nephew were poisonous, murderous. We don't want to disgrace the family name, Louise.
Oh, no, Martha, of course not.
Look, Martha, look! The roof is going!
Oh, and here comes the fire engine. Louise, we're saved. We're saved.
Good morning, Judge Morris.
Good morning, Miss Martha, Miss Louise. I trust you're well after that terrible ordeal last night.
Oh, we're feeling much better. Thank you, Judge Morris.
I know it'll be painful for you, but now that your niece and nephew are gone, we must plan for your future.
Oh, you don't have to bother, Judge. All we want to do is move back to our old house, hire a few servants, and live as we used to.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could arrange to have Mary Thompson come live with us. I won't hear of her going to that dreadful home for the infirm. Why, the poorhouse would be the death of her.
Oh, no, we can't let her go there.
With all the money Father left us, there's no reason why she should.
Ladies, I'd hoped I'd never have to reveal the truth to you, but now it appears I must.
The truth? I don't understand, Judge.
Some weeks ago, the bonds in the trust fund your father left you became utterly worthless.
What?
Your nephew and niece were afraid the shock of learning you were penniless would be too much for you. So it was decided to keep the news from you. That's why the three of us persuaded you to move in with them. Your house here in the village had to be sold to meet the debts of the estate.
But that can't be. Father left us so much.
It's all worthless now. Perhaps I should have told you this a month ago. But your niece and nephew wouldn't hear of it. In spite of the fact that they had only Roger's salary to live on, they were determined to prevent you from ever learning of your misfortune.
Oh, but the deaths of poor Queenie and Toby, of George Gibson.
George Gibson?
Yes.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Surely you heard that he was killed. The tire blew out and his car turned over.
You mean he wasn't murdered?
Certainly not.
Oh.
Are you feeling well? Has my news been too much for you?
No.
Well, now that your niece and nephew are gone, there's no one to support you, I'm afraid there's only one thing left.
One thing left? What's that?
I'm sorry to say, believe me, I am. The county home for the infirm.
Oh.
The poorhouse.
And that is the tale of escape by death, as it is written in the sealed book. Louise and Martha, because they could not believe that the death of their cat was an accident, convinced themselves that they were in danger of being killed, and in their frantic efforts to escape, ruthlessly destroyed their only protectors. Strange are the ways in which fate plays tricks on mere mortals. But the sound of the great gong tells me it's time to close the sealed book once more.
One moment, keeper of the book. What story from the sealed book will you tell us next time?
Next time? What kind of a tale would you like? A story of ghosts? Of vampires? Of werewolves howling in the night? A tale of dark plots and evil deeds? Of a strange fate overtaking the guilty? Let me see. I'll find one for you in just a moment.
Ah. And now, keeper of the book, have you found the story that you'll tell next time?
Yes, yes, I found one for you. It's the amazing story of a woman's jealousy, so great that it would not let her lie quietly in her grave, but made her seek revenge even from behind the dark veil of death. I call it Death at Storm House.
Be sure to be with us next time to hear another strange and mysterious story from
The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our other storytelling podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, visit CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.